Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Welcome to the Ribs and Knits podcast, where we cover everything godly and girly. We're going to be looking at what we should be clothing ourselves in. You have a choice in life. Do you want to clothe yourself in something that brings you joy and comfort? Or do you want to clothe yourself in something that looks kind of good, but gives you a rash in the long run? We get this choice in life, and we're going to be covering which choice to make. Let's do it together. Let's go. Welcome to the Ribs and Knits podcast.
Oh, thanks for having me.
This is Indy.
How fun is this? Hi,
my
guys.
My friend. Indy. Hi. Is here, and we're going to be talking about rejection today. Indy, why don't you give a little intro to who you are?
So my name is Indy. I am 24. I grew up in a very large family. I'm middle child, so like classic middle child. And me and my siblings are super tight. We've grown up in church, and my dad is a worship leader, so kind of grew up being like fairly like looked in on as a family in church, so just grew up kind of being very aware of that, and very it can like really lead into a lot of performance because you know people are watching. And so that was kind of my like story of growing up, was just figuring out who I was within the framework of my family. And then straight out of college I moved to New York. Just always dreamt of living in New York, and I was like, I'm just gonna make it happen.
New York.
Literally, I have a memory of like figuring out I was going, and then just literally getting in my car and just screaming
concrete jungle
from the rooftops, like as if I'm gonna be Alicia Keys in New York.
And you were.
And I was.
You stormed those streets in.
I most definitely wasn't.
Yeah.
I was broke living in someone's wardrobe. Basically. But it was such a like cool experience, basically, just moving. I just turned 19, and I was just wanting to be a big city girl.
Big city girl.
And I went, I did an internship, and basically it was the first time that I'd not had my like family to kind of be the context behind who I was. It was me on my own. Just who is Indy? Like just that. Like on my own. And so it was really cool because it just was such a formative time in my life where I just figured out, okay, what do I think about this, and who am I without my family around me? And then 2 weeks into being in New York, I actually walked into a coffee shop and I thought, gosh, this barista is quite cute. And I ordered a nice latte from him, and a mutual friend walked in and introduced us. I didn't even know that I had any sort of connection to this guy, and introduced us, and I was like, hi, I'm Indy. And he was like, hi, I'm Caleb. And basically started chatting in this coffee shop. And then turns out he was going to the same church as me. This is so random, like in the middle of Soho in New York, finding this cute barista. Turns out he goes to my church. We became mates, and then started dating. COVID happened. That kind of just sped things up for everyone, didn't it? So my visa was expiring. I had to leave the US. So he was like, great, I'll move with you. And so we both moved back to Brighton, where my family are, and got married. And we've now been married 3 years.
That's still crazy. In Brighton. It's been 3 years.
Yeah, wild. Wow. I know, I was a child bride. Yeah. No, actually, I never faced rejection like in a relationship.
Wow.
Caleb was my first kiss, which is like kind of wild.
That's kind
I
of
feel
a
like no one gets to say that. No. But literally was my first kiss.
You
first
married the barista. You know, you married the hot barista.
I married the hot barista.
That's like in every movie, like, and stuff.
As if that happens.
Like, whoa.
Yeah.
You should have a movie. A hope movie. This is a podcast of hope.
Podcast of hope that you will marry that hot
you
barista.
You will marry the hot barista. End the podcast here.
Yeah, literally. We've done okay. It.
Amazing. And but you're doing Pink Letters.
So Pink Letters. So I started Pink Letters when I just left school. I hated school. Like majorly. I don't know. But
I hated school.
Yeah.
It's the worst.
It sucks.
It was the
worst. Sorry.
Like so much safeguarding, yet
how did I get bullied that bad? Like, what?
Wait, that's
all
so
that
true.
Training for teachers and you still let me get bullied.
Honestly though, I feel like we were the guinea pigs of social media as well, so we were very much the beginnings of that, and that
we
didn't
had
go down very well, did
way
it
way too young.
Yeah,
oh my gosh, Snapchat, that's long gone.
Yeah,
for me anyways. I think it's still
the young people are still
they're
doing
loving
it.
Life
apparently young people love Snapchat.
Yeah, not me.
India's not bullying anyone on Snapchat.
No, I promise. But anyways, hated school.
Yeah.
And then left, and I've got two younger sisters. Ruby is one of them, and another sister called Mary, and they were still in school. And I just watched them come home from school just dealing with all the same stuff I dealt with. Like, I was one of like the only three girls, there's three girls in my whole year that didn't self-harm.
Oh.
And like that's just the reality of like school.
Yeah.
And people just don't really like get that. And I think you only there's so much stuff that happens in school that you just can't even come home and talk to your parents about, because just sometimes not even worth them worrying or the risk of them going to talk to a teacher about it. Like,
scary.
You just don't want to create fuss, and so you just get on with things. But there is just so much stuff that happens, the chat, like your mates having sex, someone gets pregnant, like there's just so much that just can happen at school, and so that just doesn't get chat really. So they were just kind of going through all this stuff where they're like, do I go to the parties, like everyone's doing drugs, like do I go, do I drink, like all these things, and also girls just being so mean and guys just saying the most horrible things. And so I just hated it, and I was like, oh man, this really is like a cycle that like seems to just keep happening. It doesn't seem to like end, and how can I do anything that helps? And so I was chatting to Ruby, and I was like, is there anything I could do to just help young girls, like who are just really struggling at school? And she was like, why don't you just write them a letter and just like tell them all the stuff that you wish you could have told yourself. Your younger self. And I was like, oh my gosh, I can do that. So I was like 18, and I basically just started writing letters, and that's how it started. It wasn't really anything major. It was like to the girls in my youth group, it was to my sisters, and I put it out on like Instagram and just said like, if there's any other girls on my page that would like a letter. And it just like blew up. I had like 700 signups like within a couple of days. It was just amazing.
That's incredible.
So
people need it.
It was one of those moments where I was like, okay, cool. Like, there's a lot of girls basically struggling and just feeling this stuff at school. So, yeah, that's how Pink Letters started.
Pink Letters. Pink Letters. Sign up if you're under 18.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to talk about rejection now.
Yeah.
Which, has that ever come up in a Pink Letter before?
100%.
Oh, cool. We're in good hands then. She's come prepared. I'm going to set a 15-minute timer. So.
Oh my gosh.
We basically don't.
The pressure's on.
There's a lot of pressure. You have to say the best things you've ever said in the next 15
minutes.
Oh my
gosh. Clip all the good one-liners. Yeah. All right. For Instagram.
I will.
There's going to be none.
There's going to be at least five. Okay.
Oh my gosh.
We're starting. Rejection.
Mm.
I think I would start off by saying we need to find ourselves in God and not man.
Mm.
A lot of the reason why rejection hurts so much for me is because I've placed some sort of weight in the person who's rejecting me's hands. Like, I definitely think back to school, there was this group of girls who really, really bullied me really badly. But my dream in life was to be their friend. Like, I just wanted them to like me. And I remember I used to, like, if they were on their own, I would, like, smile at them, hoping they'd smile back at me. And then suddenly realise that I was a great person and want to be my friend. Didn't work. But yeah, so. Tip. And so I just always dreamed of them being my friend. And I would like look at them, and they obviously realized that they had this power over me, because one, I'd have big reactions. Two, I just cry a lot. Mm. I would spend a lot of lunchtimes in the toilets crying by myself. Or I'd go, there was like a garden at my school, and I would go and garden by myself to like recover. Like, my response was gardening.
I love that.
Yeah, awesome. I took wellies to school and everything.
No.
They're in my locker, yeah. Because I would just go and garden my way through everything.
Oh my gosh, the world needs to hear this.
I know, guys, if you've got a problem, start a garden at your school and you'll be fine.
Wow.
But they would reject me so many times. Like, I would smile at them on the bus. They would, you know, roll their eyes. And I'm like, you're on your own right now and you're choosing to be mean on purpose. Mm. Like, it's not like you're doing it to impress your friends. That is a choice. You know, they would, you know, push me when I'm in the lunch line so that I'm at the back. They would, you know, make fun of the way I look, make fun of the way I'm dressed. Like, the amount of times I was called anorexic white witch because I was pale. I had white hair growing up and I diet now. And I was quite skinny. And so they would just make fun of everything that was me.
That's horrible.
Anything I'm that so they could. Sorry. Anything they could, they would. And if I think if I look back, if my like really I was putting my faith in God and I was really giving him the power to speak over me, I think I would have been a much happier person. Obviously it would have sucked every single day that they did those things. Like, it never takes away from that pain. Mm. But I was placing, like, they were in my mind the most important things. Like, they, I thought about them constantly. I was always thinking, how can I impress them? How can I make them like me? How can I, you know, get them on my side? Like, can I do anything? Mm. Yeah, if I was putting that much time and effort into my relationship with God, I would have just had such a healthy, a much healthier thing going on in my life, because he only says good things about us. We do so much wrong and yet he showers us with love. He tells us we are perfect and beautiful, perfect. But you know, he loves us because when we've given our lives to Jesus, he sees Jesus when he looks at us. Mm. And that's like the coolest thing we can do with our lives.
That's so good. I feel like for me with rejection, where I feel like the early, especially at school, I don't know if you had like a friendship group of like three.
Yeah.
Ugh, which just like actually sucks.
I was always the third.
Yeah, same. But then I think everyone always thinks they're the third. Like, I just think that is how it goes. I think every person in the three thinks they're the third one. And I think that was the first time as well, because girls in school, the meanness is actually really subtle.
Yeah.
Like, it's like just like not waiting for you to like quickly pack up your bags so you can walk with them to the next lesson.
Oh.
And they just go on their own with your
the
other
worst
friend
pain.
And then you're the third. And we've all experienced, like, I know I did that to one of my friends where I was like, oh great, at least I'm with someone, then like I'll leave them and they'll be fine.
Yeah.
And you can so easily become one of the two.
Yeah.
And forget about how it feels to be the third.
Yeah.
And so I feel like that was definitely like an early memory of just rejection. And I feel like it's the way I dealt with it was almost like to just completely pretend I just didn't care.
Mm.
When it was just like, I'll take my time. It's like, oh, you're waiting. Oh, you don't have to wait. But like, it wasn't true. I was like, I deeply cared if they waited or not for me.
Oh, yeah.
Or like if they were gonna like wait for me to go to lunch, or wait for me whilst I'm going in the loo, and they were gonna stand by the sinks and wait for me. Like, I don't know why that's at school such big deals.
Yeah.
When you just like, I don't want to walk on my own through the corridor.
Like the most important people in the world. It's like, ooh.
Yeah. And I think that's also like not the answer. It's to like just pretend that you're fine and pretend that it like doesn't hurt, because that doesn't really deal with anything. It just kind of like covers it up.
Mm.
And so I do think like it comes with like a confidence that can only come from Jesus.
Yeah.
To be so confident in who you are, where the rejection can only like hit so far.
Yeah.
Like, it only hits my flesh, but it doesn't like hit my spirit.
Bounces right off.
And yeah. And again, I do think this is such a like childhood, like all the Bible, all the kids from church are going to roll their eyes, but like he like gives us the armor of God to wear. And I forget that like that exists.
Mm.
And I don't put it on, and like I don't put like my breastplate of righteousness on, and like the helmet of salvation and the belt of truth, like all these things that he's given me to protect myself. And I don't wear it because I'll forget, and then I'm like, oh, no wonder like I like feel it today,
that hurts,
like
so
that
much,
hurts so much, because I didn't put my armor on, like I didn't say like, Lord, what are you saying about me today, and put that on first. And actually Caleb, my husband, he's told me once that he used to put his armor on before school, like like pretending to put it on. It's just
that
so funny.
Precious.
But he was like, I would like put my like school uniform on, as if it was like my armor, like
visual learner, mom,
a visual learner. Hey, we love it. And actually it's been so helpful for me because we love clothes.
We do love clothes.
And, you know, clothes are great. They're fun.
Amazing.
But like, then they don't even compare to the armor of God.
No.
And like, I think, but it's so cool that we've got these clothes to represent something else.
Yeah.
And like, when you put on your hat, like that is your helmet of salvation. I love like visualizing.
That's good. Wow.
Like our shoes of peace. Aww. And like, do you know what I mean? That's it's so fun, nice. Isn't it? I forget that like he's given that to us for when rejection comes, when people say stuff about us, like we're ready, we're battle ready.
Yeah, that's really good. I remember when I was in school, I used to have this scarf and I would wear it, and that was like my safety scarf. And it wasn't even like a God thing, it was just like they would talk to me and I would just like
yeah, literally.
Now, oh, it's put a new power on my clothes. This does make me think of Jesus, because obviously, oh, it's so cringe, but Jesus was rejected, you know, always bring it back to Jesus. But Jesus was rejected by literally all man, and that rejection led to his death. And that's crazy, because rejection can lead to our death, like a death of like, you know, self-worth. It can lead to a death of self-importance. Like you can end up believing things about yourself that lead to like deaths in ourselves.
Yeah.
And I think so it's good. Crazy that we have a relationship with Jesus. Like our God has gone through what we go through. Like he knows how you feel. And so when we take it to him, it's kind of like, yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
Like I get this. And I'm not saying that being pushed out of the lunch queue is the same as being put on the cross. Don't worry. Not crazy. But it is like he is so empathetic with us because he's felt it. He has seen people cheer for a man who was awful to be let go so that he could go to the cross. He felt that. He like has innately felt the things we feel. And sometimes it does feel like when your friend leaves you out, it feels like the worst thing in the world. It feels like the end of the world. It's like, well, now I'm going to have no one to sit with. Yeah. I'm going to be all by myself. I'm not going to be invited to any parties. Like, I didn't get invited to any parties at school. I remember one party in year 11 I got invited to. And it's because this guy, who was always really nice to me, like literally forced the person to invite me. And it was like, why? Like, why was I so hated? I always look back and think, I didn't ever do anything. But I remember the day like bullying started for me was because I made a choice of being kind to someone who people didn't like. And then from then on, it turned to sour. And so I was like, why was little Emily, who maybe was a bit annoying, but that's kind of the extent of how bad
it
was.
Weren't we all?
Like, but that's, if being annoying is a crime, send me to jail. But it wasn't. It was really not that bad. Like, I didn't do anything that bad. But he gets it. He's like, I didn't do anything either, Emily. And I went to the cross. I didn't do any sins. I didn't have any reason that I should have gone to the cross. Yeah. Yet I went. And so it's yet you haven't done anything, yet it's happening to you. So what's your response? My response is, I'm going to go to Jesus. I'm going to put on the armor of God. I'm going to talk to my youth leader. I'm going to talk to my mom. I'm going to talk to someone about it. I'm gonna choose to deal with it in a healthy way, because what I would do is just cry in my room. I remember I would do this thing where I would like be crying so hard that I would like scream internally. And like, if it's getting to that point, it's too far. Like, if it's getting to that point, it's like, take it to Jesus. Pray about it. Read your Bible. Like, read about his rejection. Like it says in Isaiah. I'll go to Isaiah. It says in, where is it, where is Isaiah? Isaiah 53, it talks about, he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering, like one from whom men hid their faces. He was despised and we esteemed him not. That's Jesus. Jesus is a man of sorrows, familiar with suffering. He's familiar with it. He gets it.
Yeah, totally.
So taking it to a friend who is rejecting you is useless. Being like, often I would say to friends like, oh, I'd love to be included. Like, oh, you're having a party on Saturday. I'd love to come. And they're like, that's so embarrassing that you would ask. Whereas you take it to Jesus and he's like, I get it. I'm familiar with suffering. Like, people hid their faces from him, it says here. Like, imagine walking down the school and people hide their faces from you. You would feel awful. He gets it. But yeah, that's my thing.
Totally. And I think with rejection, like, you see how he literally can use everything for good. Yeah. Like, you see what the cross was awful. Like, yeah. Like, that is horrific. But, like, look at the beauty that came from it. And, like, yeah. that rejection was awful that he faced. Yet, like, here we are. We get to be living in freedom.
Yeah.
And I had this... I basically went for a job about a year ago now. And I didn't get it. I was so gutted because I was just, like, super excited to just, like, start something new. And I was at David's tent and someone came over to me and I was just, like, in my worship vibes, just loving life.
Out of it.
And they came over to me and they're like, hey, I feel like you've just recently, like, received some rejection.
Wow.
And it was literally that morning I got rejected by this job that I was trying to go for. And they were like, but I feel like God wants you to know, like, it's not actually rejection, it's protection.
Wow.
And for me, I feel like it is shaped every time I get rejected from that moment, where I've just got this little line, like, oh, it's not rejection, it's protection. And I'm like, I have no idea what God sees that I can't see. Like, yeah. He's got every single minute of my life mapped out.
Yeah.
And he knows exactly the plan for my life and can see miles beyond I can.
Yeah.
And it's so beautiful because actually just it's so right. It was like, yeah, so not the right thing. And I'm like a year on and in a new job and I'm loving it. And it's like, oh man, God is so kind because he really literally can use any rejection,
yeah,
for something so beautiful and to teach us something. And even you were saying, like, rejection kind of kills something in us.
Yeah.
It can, like, also kill, like, pride, and, like, not also, like, the beautiful things about, yeah, us, but, like, it can kill things in us that actually do need to go, like, and that's, like, again, like, he'll use it for good, like, even if it's so, like, uncalled for, and most of the time, like, rejection is, but, like, he will use all of it. I think that's, yeah, rejection is protection is kind of my, like, motto at this point.
Yeah, I definitely see that in my life, because that one party I got invited to, because I was so desperate for people's approval, it's like I just drank too much, I wore the wrong outfit, I wasn't my best. I actually remember the next day just being like, oh, I was just a bit gross, like, it was just not that fun.
Yeah,
like, I spent the whole time trying to impress people. And so if I'd have done that for the whole 5 years of school, who would I be? Like, would I have just been this shell of a person? Like, it probably was protection.
Yeah.
Because I probably would have done stuff I was too young for. I probably would have got involved in stuff I shouldn't have got involved in. But because I didn't get those invites, I was at home watching movies with my parents. I was at youth club on Friday. Like,
yeah, totally.
I had to do the more innocent, maybe less stereotypically fun things. But actually, I had a lot of fun, apart from the crying.
That's good. It's so true. I think even the same goes for relationships. Like, when you can get, like, rejected in a relationship, like, I think that is such protection often.
Yeah.
Like,
you don't have to go through heartbreak.
Yeah.
Oh.
Wait, that's it gone.
Stop that. 15 minutes. Heartbreak is rubbish. And, like, I often talk to people who are like, I really, really want a boyfriend. I would love a boyfriend. And I'm like, but, like, if you just want the boyfriend for the sake of having a boyfriend, you kind of are letting yourself, you don't mind the idea of a breakup, basically. It's kind of like, because if you're finding someone, it's like, okay, I'm just going to date him because I really want a boyfriend and he's cute. There's you need intentionality behind it, because that will end up in, like, you allowing yourself to get heartbroken if it's not the right kind of person. But if you wait, and it happens and it's natural and it's not because you were searching for it, you know, that everyone always says it happens when you're not looking. Ugh, cringe. But it kind of does. Like, when I look back at my teenage years, I dated the worst people. And I actually got myself into awful situations because I dated guys, because it was a thing you do. But then as an adult, I am dating a guy called Jack. It was a really intentional choice. I'd been friends with him for 5 years. We really, really were good friends. We got each other. And then it naturally happened. And it was like, oh, this is a surprise. This is fun. And it was like, I wasn't setting myself up for heartbreak. Whereas you kind of do when you're a teenager dating a random guy who doesn't have the same values as you, doesn't have the same morals, but he's kind of cute. was worth it. But yeah, I think I'll end on Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat.
Yeah.
I should have worn... Go on. Oh, I have a Technicolor hat. I should have worn that. But he... I think rejection is really seen in his story. His brothers rejected him. They hated him.
Yeah.
That, like, imagine all your siblings plotting to kill you.
Yeah.
And then throwing you in a ditch and selling you.
Yeah.
I think you'd be a bit sad.
I think so. Sure.
But... It led
An
to
understatement.
Him. Yeah. I think you'd be a little bit... But it led to him helping lead a nation. It led to him saving people. It led to him helping people. And that is... Like, rejection led to a great story.
Mm.
And yes, he lost his coat. And they smeared blood all over it. Sure. But he... ended up where God needed him, and God turned it for good. We were talking about it earlier. He turned the rejection for good, and it meant he was a humble person. It meant he was a great man. It meant he followed God as much as possible because he didn't want to stray. He wanted God to be in charge. And that's really beautiful. And so your rejection story can be used for you leading a nation. You might be the next prime minister, but or you might be something simple like us. We might do social media. Yeah, all those rejections are coming out. But yeah. Do you have anything you want to end on?
Gosh, I think just probably it's a reminder for myself, like, when we're just day to day, like, we are gonna get rejected, and like, it's nothing we can do to avoid that. In our workplaces, in our friendships, in relationships, we will get disappointed. And I think reminding myself, like, what is the tools God's given me? Okay, he's given me his truth to speak over myself. He's given me his armor of God, and he's given me the strength for the day. And I think that's what I think. I'm just, it's a helpful reminder, even just speaking that out today, of just like, he is so much bigger than any other rejection that we will ever face. Yeah, he's so much bigger.
So good.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming.
Yeah. Thanks for not rejecting me.
Oh, thanks for not rejecting me. I invited you. No, Emily.
Here we are.
But here we are.
Love it. Oh, thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming. It's so fun.
It's so exciting.
I've learned so much.
Oh, same.
Our stories are great. She married the barista, guys. The hot barista got married. That's a win for today.
Oh, that's the win. That's the takeaway.
That is the main takeaway I'm taking.